Hey, this is Mr. Damage from Chrome Division, and you are listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Another ass-kicking interview here at Sonic Perspectives. My name is Austin Coquel, contributing author and interviewer with the Sonic Perspectives team. And as we stare down the last ride of 2018, we find a beloved band staring down their own last ride. But we'll talk about that more in just a second. But I'd like to welcome from the band Chrome Division, Mr. Damage. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Awesome. So happy to be talking to you. Thanks for taking the time out to talk with me today.
Yeah, sure.
So as I mentioned just a second ago, on the 16th of November, just a few days ago, your band Chrome Division just released One Last Ride, which is actually the last ride of the band, the final album, the end.
Yes.
So what's going through your head right now?
The one thing that's going through my head is that I don't have the physical format of the album. That's kind of confusing. Everyone else got it, but you know, we are the band does get it in the end. So I'm sitting here. Oh my god, I want to listen to my own album, but
well, you can borrow my copy if you want. I'll ship it overseas to you.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds great.
Well, from what I've heard, it's fantastic, and we'll talk more about going into the details on that. But one thing I wanted to talk about. Unfortunately, you guys kind of parted ways with your lead singer, Shady, before this album cycle began. But in the good news department, you brought back your original lead vocalist, Eddie Guz. So what's it like closing out the final chapter of the band with your old bandmate coming full circle?
To be honest, it feels very good. We are all pals, and we've known each other for a long time. It feels so right to do it this way. And the whole thing about this album is that we've been working on the material for so long. We started writing the music right after the last album, Infernal Rock Eternal. And but there were so many things going on in everybody's lives, and then Shady quit, and we really didn't know what to do. And that's when Shagrath called Eddie Guz and asked if he wanted to do this one last ride with us, so it just felt right to do it this way, so there are no hard feelings, nothing like that at all. It just feels right. That's what I can say.
And especially rather than bringing on a new guy to kind of end on a, it's like this, like you said, it feels right. It's a good way to do it. So I don't want to spoil too much about the album for your listeners or ours, but my personal opinion, it's really great. The intro and outro are just perfect. The track listing is such a great way to go out, with the last two songs being One Last Ride and We Drink. So my question to you was, how important was it to get the track sequencing of the album just perfect for One Last Ride?
Well, that was, of course, something that we thought a lot on, but when you've been writing this music, you don't think about the tracks, where they are going to be on the album. But when everything is done, it kind of sorts itself out where things should be, to have a good dynamic on the album. We just sat down really and made a map where it all should sit and to have it all together, and we are very pleased with the album and the tracks and the lyrics too represents where we are as a band and in real life now. We are just like, okay, let's go party, let's go drink, let's have fun.
Well, and
go
ahead. No. Well, I was going to say, I love that We Drink is, it's not like a fighting song. It's a leave me alone, I just want to drink song, which I think is so great.
Yeah, that's right. It just feels so good releasing this album now. And the lyrics, they are in your face, there's, there's nothing to, you don't, they are not so deep, you know. Of course, it's about girls and drinking and having fun, but you know, that's what life's about in the end, isn't it?
It's still okay, you know, despite what anybody else might say, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's it, you know, a lot of bands kind of just fizzle out and die, or, you know, they just kind of take like a 5-year hiatus and then you never hear about them ever again. You guys kind of have this unique opportunity getting to create an album knowing it will be your last and then go out on a tour, no, you know, and not like an Ozzy Osbourne or Kiss like retirement sucks tour, and then 30 years later you're still around doing it. So like, so what's it like getting to, you know, kind of set up the living wake for your band, especially when you guys got to give a whole bunch of shout outs on the song One Last Ride and everything?
Yeah, how it feels for us to do this this way, you think? As I said before, it feels right to do it this way. And as I told you, there are no hard feelings. There are no, we are not sad or anything like that. But we really wanted to play live with this album. We always wanted to play live, but because of Shagrath and Dimmu Borgir, we kind of just have to take what's left. But we want to go out with a bang, you know. As you said, we don't want to fade away or anything like that. We want to go out with a bang and celebrate this. It's a celebration, and then, you know, we just have to say what happens in the future. Nobody knows, you know. It's like a relationship going to an end, but you know, if you see your ex 10 years down the road, you never know what's going to happen. But we wanted to do this,
especially if it happens in one of your songs, right?
yeah, all the time. So, but we just want to do it the right way for us, and I think. You know, we have not been a very active live band, as I told you. So I think people deserve to see us live and to celebrate with us. One thing is to release an album, but the other thing is to go out there and just party with our family, you know, with our friends and fans, and just have a good time. And I really hope that we can tour a lot with this album. We've got 10 dates. I think it's 10 dates booked already. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that we can. We are doing the first leg of the tour now in February 2019. Mm-hmm. And then I hope we can do it after all the Dimmu Borgir hysteria, you know, and maybe do something in the fall. But we just have to see and wait.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important because it gives your fans like an opportunity for some closure too, like one last time to come out and see you and everything. So it's kind of a yin and yang. It's like it's good for you and it's good for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. That's right, man.
One of the you know, talking about your tour dates, one show you have coming up, it looks like it's a festival appearance in your native home country of Norway in May.
Yeah.
So how's that feel to kind of have that as like one of your last big shows to play like in your home?
That's gonna be so cool, man. And the other things that's cool is that Dimmu is also playing on that festival. So so people would have two in one.
awesome.
It feels so great to play here in our hometown. And you know, people are always asking me, when are you going to play here, when are you going to play live? And I always say, you know, if it was up to me, I could have played every night, but I don't know. So to finally have some shows booked, it just feels great.
Is their chance really to finally come out and buy a ticket.
Yeah, and you know, then we just have to see what happens. People are just so slow here in Norway. They are asking, you know, are you playing live? Are you playing live? Are you playing live? And then I said, yeah, we have to see. And then when we are playing live, then they are making some excuse to sit home and watch Netflix or something.
Just goes to show you, no matter the level of the band, it's like whether you're a local band just paying your dues or, you know, whatever. People can, I gotta do some laundry that night or something.
Yeah, you know, and the best example for that, AC/DC was here in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I asked a buddy of mine, are you coming to see AC/DC? No, we take that later, you know, we can see them next time. And I said, I don't think there will be a next time, man.
Like Brian Johnson is just like retired and just driving cars on Top Gear, and Axl Rose, you know, it's like the band is kind of falling apart, but you know, if you want to wait, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know if that's only here in Norway or if it's everywhere else in the world, but that's a sickness that we have to get rid of. It's not good.
Yeah,
it's not good.
Everyone just wants to listen to Spotify and not actually bother to go out and, you know, see a band live. But it is
lazy people, man.
Yeah, we could probably talk hours on that topic. So going back to the album real quick, just because I want to touch on a couple of the songs. The song Walk Away in Shame, which is one of my favorites on the album. It's just a great single. Cool. You guys work with the pop singer, I might butcher the name, but Miss Celia. Okay. She sounds great. It's a perfect fit. It's kind of like how people keep talking about how Lady Gaga and Metallica should work together. What was that collaboration like for you guys, and how did that come together?
How it came together, I didn't know before we were starting to track the vocals. And then Sharia said that he had been in touch with her. And this is Shagrath X, I have to tell you.
Ah, okay.
Ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's been doing a lot of shows around, everywhere, singing pop songs and cover songs and whatnot. So I really didn't know before she was there in the studio. And I was like, okay, great, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And it just sounded great. It was so cool because you get to add a little more colors to it, mm-hmm. Instead of just having Eddie's voice on everything, then it kind of loosens a little up, and I think it's a cool song. It's a perfect song. We did it on because you know the story behind, you know, the lyrics and how both the girl and man sees the situation. So it turned out great. I must say it myself.
And it feels natural too. It doesn't feel forced. Like a lot of the time when a guest vocalist comes on, it's like, you know, it's just some, you know, promoting some other band on the label or something and, you know, to collaborate. But like it works. It's organic.
Yeah, it's so cool that you're saying that because that's my impression as well. I think so too. So it's great. I love that song as well.
Yeah,
you know, and the funny thing about the songwriting here is that me and Shagrath are only making the music, so we don't know how it will turn out in the end before Eddie has got his lyrics and his voice on it.
Yeah, sure.
And that's cool. That's a cool thing, you know. We are just waiting for the present to get unwrapped. So it's always funny to make music that way and see what happens. And this time it turned out great.
So in the same vein, because I don't have my physical copy of the album yet, so I don't have all the liner notes.
Me either, man.
Yeah, we'll probably be unwrapping it at the same time. So there are female backup vocals, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are female backup vocals on This One Is Wild, which is probably my favorite song on the whole album. With like, it's got this Thin Lizzy, Iron Maiden, Wishbone Ash, like dual lead kind of thing. Who's the female vocalist on that song?
It's the same. Miss Celia.
She's on both? That's awesome. Okay.
She's on both, yeah. And that was not planned. She was there. And I think it was Eddie that had the idea of maybe you should try to sing on this as well. Yeah, okay, of course. I'm here, so let's do it.
Yeah. Might as well make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when she was there, we just had to use it for what it was worth. You know, just try to record it on some songs and see what works out and what doesn't work out. But everything she did, she's very professional. You know, she just got right in there and did it. And I don't think maybe it was an hour or two and then everything was done. You know,
I mean, she
it was
kills
just
it.
So cool.
Yeah,
she's awesome, man. She's awesome.
So
really.
It's been a few years since the previous album you mentioned earlier, Infernal Rock Eternal. Do you use any new guitars or any gear or anything on the new album that you'd like to talk about?
I'm so in love with my I've got Schecter Hellraiser Solo 6, I think it's called. Yeah. I just love that guitar because in Chrome Division we have tuned everything one whole step down, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's in D, and then we are dropping it to C.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about this guitar is that it's got 24 frets, not 22. Yeah. So
I would expect nothing less.
So the strings are not so flabbering, you know. You got still got the tension. But for this album, the funny thing or the cool thing for me is that we were recording this in Studio Nyhagen, and that's the studio. That studio is owned by the guitarist from the Norwegian band called TNT, which was.
You know
about the band, and so for me, Ronnie Letecra, that's the guitarist. It was kind of a little dream come true to meet him and to work with him in his studio. So he asked which kind of amps we were going to use, and I wanted to go. Me and Chagrat wanted to go analog and old school. So I actually used Ronnie Letecra's Marshall amps.
Oh man.
It was fucking cool. And it was just so simple, played it right in, mic'd it all up and got it straight into an old SSL mixer. So the only thing that's digital is the Mac recording it. There's no we didn't use any Camper or XFX or anything thing like that. It was one Marshall for me. And then Shagrath used his PV-5150, I think it was.
Yeah, the old Eddie Van Halen model.
Yeah, but, that's right. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, for your band sound, that's perfect. You know, for The Last Ride and everything, it's like, it should be analog. It should be old school, just Marshalls cranked to 11 and everything.
Yeah, that's right. And the blend of those two amps just worked out perfectly in the end. And I had to work hard to make it sound great because I didn't use so much gain, and that wasn't my purpose. So that was a new experience.
It's not a volume knob.
No, exactly. So that was I had to play really hard to make the Marshall crank, but it worked out great, you know. Yeah.
So, you know, you said before you don't know what the future will hold. You know, you might run into an X 10 years down the line. But, you know, looking into the future as best you can now, you know, we're staring down the end of the band's history, potentially. Do you think you'd work with Shagrath or anyone else in the band again in the future?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I think so. Me and Shagrath are so – we are good friends. We meet up when we have time for it and drink a beer or 10. we are some music lovers, both of us, you know. So I think so. But then again, it's time. I've been working for a solo record for like 4 years now, which I really hope that I can put out in 2019 sometime.
Awesome. Do you want to talk about
that
at all?
It will be some cool names on it, good singers, and some surprises. And that album will be everything from Spanish guitars to metal to rock to everything, you know.
I'm a big prog guy, so that's like perfect for me.
Yeah, me too, man. So that will be cool. It's an ego trip, you know. You just want to do what you want to do. There is nothing more about it than that.
So, and it's something you kind of got to get out of your system too. You know, there are like no limits. You can do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And the cool thing, I just have to mention it because Derek Sherinian, which played in Dream Theater.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I just saw him with Sons of Apollo this year.
Oh yeah. Okay, cool. And he is going to play some keyboard solos on this album as well. So it's just so cool. Yeah, you know, these days, this age, you know, can just send files over to the other side of the world and get them back. It's just fantastic.
You can play analog and still benefit from the digital side too.
Yeah, that's right. So it's awesome.
Is there anything, you know, we're just kind of about out of time. Is there anything about One Last Ride, anything that we've touched on or anything we haven't touched on that you'd like to talk about before we go?
I think we summed it up really, really good. And I just have to say that I'm really proud of this album. It was 4 years in the making. And I'm so proud and really happy that we got it out there, you know, that we just didn't lay it all to rest, that we actually did it and made it and got it out for ourselves and for everybody else that likes rock and roll music. Yeah.
And so, it tells a great story.
I'm really happy.
Yeah,
it's a great story, you know. And so we just have to celebrate life and have a great time. That's about it, you know.
Perfect. Well, Mr. Damage, thank you so much for all the years of music and for bringing the timeless rock of classic bands like AC/DC and Motorhead and Guns N' Roses, all those great old bands, in a high quality and honest way for the past, what, 14, 15 years. Your fans thank you for that as well, I'm sure. So once again, the final album from Chrome Division, One Last Ride, just came out Friday, the 16th of November from Nuclear Blast. So Mr. Damage, thanks for taking the time to talk with me here at Sonic Perspectives.
Thank you so much for having me here. And, you know, let's just, let's do this. Let's open a beer can.
You got it. We drink.
We drink.
You got it. Cheers.
All right.
All right, man.
Cheers, man.
All right, thanks so much for listening to this interview about the final Chrome Division album. Once again, this is Austin Coquel from Sonic Perspectives, and I'll leave you guys now with Walk Away in Shame from One Last Ride. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel and podcasts for more interviews, reviews, and weekly episodes of Talking Perspectives. All of those links are right here on this page. So thanks again for listening and for helping to keep great music alive. I'll talk to you in our next interview here at Sonic Perspectives. Thanks.
Gonna be a good night. So let's dance tonight.